Hallelujah, ain't no need for feeling blue. We made it, now we winning, and we feeling brand new. Hands up to the ceiling, happy is a feeling. Go ahead, do your dance, left or right, it's like some healing. Ready for the weekend, it's a party on this day. Hey, working through the weekend, now it's almost time for play. Hey, set your hands up to the sky.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back, everyone, to a bank holiday, Easter Friday, Friday Night Live of That Mill podcast. Hope you guys are doing all well today. Joining me, as always, my two regular friends, co-hosts of the show. First up, Mr. Mickey Simpson, ex-founder boards. Hello, mate.
Hello, fella. How you doing?
I'm all right. All the better for 3 points today, mate.
All the better for 3 points. Two fabulous saves. And, Rotherham going home with fucking their tears. All good, mate. All good. I'll tell you, mate, the fans are going to be in for a shock with this next one.
Well, joining us as always is, actually, it's a different one today, isn't it? It's a positive Neil, Mr. Neil Fizzler. Hello, Neil. You all right?
Good evening. Good evening, everybody. Hope everybody's bright and breezy on this Good Friday, not Bank Holiday Friday, but there you go.
I said Bank Holiday Easter Friday. Technically, the banks are shut today, so I feel like I'm on to something there. So, evening to regulars in the chat. Obviously, we've got Richard here. How you doing, mate? He's talking about, we'll come back to that in a second, actually. He's talking about, obviously, the game today, which is obviously a 1-0 victory for Mill over Rotherham. Evening to Barry. Hope you're doing well, mate. And obviously, evening to anyone watching. Be sure to comment in the chat. You know, obviously, anything you guys want to put in and say, we'll read it out, as long as it's not too out of the ordinary, should we say.
Just to Barry. Barry, yeah, the intro was great. That was my my daughter did that for us. So it was a brand new video made, and we thought we'd put it out there. So I'm taking the glory for her. So yeah, well done to my daughter Till. So yeah.
Proud guy over there. Let's go straight into today's news. I mean, Neil, we won 1-0 against Rotherham United. I think, you know, that's what, two wins back to back now at the Den. What a 3 points, really. It's to take it, and you know, seven games to go now. We're only 7 points off the playoffs. Dare I even mention it? But you know, it's looking all hunky dory.
Let's not pretend we're going to reach the playoffs. Yeah, yeah, but let's get a bit real. No, superb result, wasn't it? First half was probably instantly forgettable. We'll come on to that, I'm sure, in a moment. But second half, we took the game to them at the start of the second half. And we came out of it with 3 points. They didn't really deserve anything from the game. They're shit, aren't they? Let's face it, at the end of the day, they're where they are at the bottom of the table, and for good reason.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you there, to be honest. I think they'll be looking at today, though. They would have thought it's an opportunity to come against a Mill side that's in the mid-table, languishing there, kind of not much to play for. But if anything, you know, I feel like they tried to test us, but we rose above it and obviously got the 3 points. Evening to a couple of latecomers, Alan Smith. Hope you're doing well, mate. And also Gavin. I was waiting for your comment, Gavin. Evening to you. He's on the Dom Perignon and Michael Lobb to celebrate our fine performance today. I guess we'll do drink talk. I'm on a gin and tonic, slimline one. I weren't going to drink, but then Neil went to the fridge and grabbed himself a drink. So I thought, well, I've got to join in and not miss out on that. What you got there, Neil?
I've got some from Aldi, Ascar or whatever it's called. I don't know, some kind of premium cider, as they call it.
Mickey, what are you on today? You're on the strong bars, ain't you, I think? Yeah, he's on the apple juice or the dark fruits over there, whatever it is.
Dark fruits.
But yeah, so we're on our gin and tonic over here myself anyway. You know, trying to keep health as wealth. I'm compromising somewhat, but just trying to piss Neil off really by drinking gin, I think. So, Mickey, what do you think of today's game?
Whole brands are available.
Well, yeah, exactly. What did you think of today's game today, Mickey? Happy with the 3 points?
Oh, I thought it was superb, mate. It was an ugly game, to be fair. I mean, you know, we bored it out first half. I think we missed a lot of chances where we could have possibly got one or two. But you know what? At the end of the day, a win to win, I'll take 3 points all day long, mate. And I think it's look, at the end of the day, mate, 3 points are 3 points. A win is always better to wake up to and have a beer to than us coming on here moaning. I think we give a better show when we're positive, and I think people get involved a lot more when we're positive. So, yeah, all good.
I'll come back to the first comment that we had this evening from Richard Smith here, which I don't recognise the name, so thanks for tuning in, Richard, if it's the first time you've come along. In one game, chaps, goal of the season and two saves that were both saves of the season. So let's talk about the first part of that comment. Goal of the season. Second half, back post, Jed Wallace from a corner. He was aimed for, by the way. He made a late darting run towards the back post and it kind of, fortunately, just got there. And then, Neil, what about that finish and what about the goal, mate? Words on that.
Mate, that goal was fucking horny. Yeah? That goal was, your front door, you get a bang on the front door and there's Maria Sharapova in nothing but a Millwall shirt. That is what that goal was. That goal was sexy, wasn't it? It was one hell of a strike. And I think, yeah, when Mickey said it on our group chat, it was the one and only place that he could put that ball. And he put it there. And
it was sweet.
Only thing that was disappointing about that was there wasn't a decent bank holiday crowd to see it, because that would have sent the place fucking mental.
That's it. 100%. I would have been down the pub afterwards, probably still talking about the goal now and raving about it, waiting for the highlight show to come on the pub TV.
It's one of those goals where you practice from a young kid, don't you? That sweet volley of hitting it exactly where you want it, that just skimming underneath the top bar and landing where it did. And that was, you know, that could have been so wrong. He could have scuffed that, he could have done, but he just caught that so fucking sweet. That is huge potential for goal of the season, hands down. Definitely goal of the day. Has to be goal of the day and goal of the month.
Jed Wallace doing Jed Wallace thing, right?
You know what? It would probably go down as probably one of the top five or six goals we've scored at that ground. Yeah, would you not agree?
I don't know. I think Malone's starting to say about that this season, because for goal of the season, what Mickey's saying. But I think definitely it was a great finish. I mean, it's only something Jed Wallace is capable of, isn't it, in our side?
I do think that what's his name? There's a few comments seem to be doing there. If we didn't have Bart this season, we would be absolutely fucked.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's it. So Barry said it here, Bart has to be the best keeper in this league. How the fuck is he not Poland's number one? I mean, he's got competition from Szczesny, hasn't he? The ex-Arsenal boy who plays for Juventus now in Italy. But yeah, I mean, let's talk about the penalty save. Obviously, I actually missed the penalty save because I was travelling home from work at the time. But I'm reliably informed from both these two here, my co-hosts, that it was a brilliant save, wasn't it? I think, you know, obviously, was it meant to be a penalty, lads? I think you guys kind of concluded it should have been a penalty, just maybe.
He got the ball. I think it was a harsh penalty. But I think the ref, if I'm honest with you, I think the ref was all game, was looking for something to give to them because he'd given a few chances to us. And I think he just needed to balance it out. But I think it was a bit of a harsh, if I'm honest, really. But you know what? Penalty is a penalty call. You know, go for it. But to get as far as he did on that reach and on a fully extended reach and still be able to snap his wrist to knock it out of the way was superb. It weren't a fluke. He proper got his hand to it. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, mate, I agree. To be honest, I thought... I thought it was a penalty. I thought that Murray Wallace was all over the eye, clipped his heel, and he didn't need to do what he did. So I thought it was a penalty myself. But
to be fair,
you can't argue with the save. Yeah, no, well, Pierce was the one that made the challenge that actually took the ball, wasn't he? But I think it was a fucking blinding penalty, wasn't it? It wasn't, I don't think it was a particularly well struck penalty, but it was a blinding fucking.
Do you not? Save. I think he connected with that well. He was just, Bart just, I think Bart saving that in the way he did. I mean, he knew where he was placing that ball and he took it with a bit of power. And to stop that one-handed just shows you really the strength in that boy's hands and wrists are fucking unbelievable. And without him, we would be seriously looking at bottom half of the table this season, 100% guaranteed.
Yeah, well, we discussed it the other week, I think, when we were discussing who is the most valuable player to Millwall. And I said Bart, and I stand by that. Those two saves today, the first one from the guy whose name I can't remember, Iwarski or something, the central defender, that was hell of a save. That really was clawing it out at the bottom corner.
Yeah, and it was far stretched. It was far stretched from that one as well. And I mean, to be able to jump back up, it's a shame really, you know, what you need is Brian Horn or fucking Brian King to sit there and say, you know, or even Fordy, and they'll tell you how much really those two saves today were just fucking top class. Proper top class.
So on the comments, absolutely. Hello to Joe Zampa, hello to John London. If you're in the chat and you just come along now, be sure to say hello. Comment here from Charlie Mahoney. What do you guys think about this one? Do you think we are running our luck at times? It worries me where we'd be without Bart and Jed. So let's take the four games into consideration, lads. We've only conceded, I think it's the three goals in that one second half period against QPR. Aside from that, we've not conceded any goals. And we won the last three. It's like, you know, you could argue if you took that game out of consideration. But are we running our luck at times, Neil? You know, we're relying on, obviously, master saves, so to speak, from Bielkowski. I mean, all the defence do their job. We're set up to be defensive anyway, so it doesn't surprise me that we've not conceded many goals. But, you know, especially Jed in attack, I think I saw a stat today that he's scored 19 goals and assisted 18 since the start of last season. And without them assisting goals, you'd hate to think where we'd be in the table, personally, I feel like.
I think every team rides their luck, really, don't they, at one time or another. And we're just like other teams. I think even the likes of Man City ride their luck, don't they? But I think there's an evolution of the team going to happen this summer. I think you'll find that Rowett will be getting the players that he wants in and he'll be changing one or two. But, yeah, no, the core of that team, Bart, Jed, Jake Cooper, who else is key in that team?
Ryan Woods.
No. Yeah, Ryan Woods.
I was waiting for you to say it.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. Sean Hutchinson, people like that, yeah? Yeah, the spine of the team is very good. If we can just add to it, like I thought that young Mitchell came in and had another good game today, didn't he? Mm-hmm. McNamara, very unlucky with that humdinger from the corner that was cleared and their keeper made quite a good save. So we're not that far away. We're not that far away. But I think that, you saw it in the second half. We're starting to get players back. So hopefully we're going to start dominating some teams.
We've had some comments come in about you need to slow down, Neil. Apparently the other side has gone to Neil's barnet, apparently. I don't know.
But that was only because I described that goal as horny. And it was fucking horny. Come on. Fucking brilliant. Jesus, if I can't be positive, yeah, I might as well go and watch the fucking telly.
And also, of all people to turn up at my door, I don't know if I'd want Sharapova because she's quite a noisy tennis player, ain't she? So, I mean, I don't know what my neighbours would think about that one. Have you ever met her?
I interviewed her at Wimbledon. She smiled as a fucking mess for 3 days afterwards. Seriously fit, I tell you.
More people talking about Bart saves and Gordon Banklike, apparently, from Joe Zampa. Obviously, you know, I feel like we're very lucky. I mean, a couple of people mentioned, obviously, Jordan Archer. I do agree with your point, Neil, obviously saying, you know, most valuable position or most valuable asset. I think it's important to have a really good goalkeeper. So like, I take your point on that. And you know, obviously, you know, it's not easy to just find a goalkeeper out of nowhere. You know, we've been quite lucky and spoiled with the likes of David Ford, Tony Warner, since the turn of the millennium, so to speak. But, you know, after going through the mishaps of Archer, to have Bart come in, you know, it's just kind of left that position to be nice and secure, hasn't he? It's just kind of kept it, secured it. And it's not even a worry anymore. You know, we used to spend half our time cutting off Archer. Now, you know, it's secure, safe, and in safe hands, so to speak, with Bart.
Yeah, you know, the most worrying point is about the whole thing about that was we fucked around. Why didn't we just pay the money? Jesus yeah. Christ, we could actually have lost Bart? Him.
Who, Bart? Yeah, but the only reason we fucked around is because he's got a knee injury. He's got a knee injury. Yeah, but he got picked up on a medical, and Mill wanted to pay him on a pay per play. He wanted it, yeah, but Ipswich didn't want to. Ipswich wanted to play hardball, so that's why he ended up going back.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then it ended up being arranged.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, just think what could have been. Yeah, just think what could have happened because we started to fuck around. Yeah.
Yeah, but Millwall weren't going to pay. Yeah, but what do you think about it realistically? Say Millwall paid close to £1 million for him. He played two games and got injured. And then he's out for the rest of the season, out for the rest of his career through his knee. And then we'd all be cutting Millwall off. So I think what they did was right.
Millwall's point is
but
also
players are actually insured. Yeah, but players are insured, so we'd have got our money back anyway.
Think of Chris Wood, for example, though, to counteract that, Mickey, at that point. You know, he took a player on loan, he's performed well, then his price tag put another zero on it, and then, you know, you're talking silly money. So I do get both your points there. But obviously, it works out well in the end. He's a Millwall player. We got him relatively cheap, I imagine, because obviously he was in his last year of contract at Ipswich and made it a permanent. And obviously, since then, he's not looked back. So I think, I'm sure like he'll be here for a few more years to come because he's superb. I think Joe mentioned earlier, Joe Zampa, if he had a bit of play of his feet, he'd be playing in the Premiership. He suits us though. He's very true. You know, that's it. I'll keep him.
Can you put up Gavin Smith's comment? You can put up Gavin Smith's comment, please.
Which one?
This one. Yeah. Absolutely right, mate. If you turn down Sharapova, not the Millwall liner.
I didn't say I would turn down Sharapova. I'm saying I'd think of better people in an analogy if I'm going off on one than Maria Sharapova. Let's be fair to myself there. You know, I'm not turning down Sharapova in this scenario. I'm just saying it wouldn't be the first thought to come to my head, which is obviously an interesting thought from you, Daniel. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's one of my go-to lines. Yeah, but it's one of my go-to lines.
What about this one from Joe as well, actually? Was Ben Thompson in the squad today? He wasn't, by the way. I've just checked this to check myself.
No, he wasn't.
I couldn't remember if he was on the subs bench. But let me read out the bench today, lads, because I feel like it was a good talking point to have. And I think, Mickey, you might have commented on it in our group chat. Frank Fielding, Alex Pearce, Sean Williams, Marlon Romeo, Connor Mahoney, Ken Sahor, Kefton Belds, Tom Bradshaw, Bud Farton. I mean, as benches go for Millwall this season, especially with recent times and our injuries, I mean, we'll best talk about Sean Hutchinson going off injured. Hopefully that's not a lengthy injury for him. But, you know, 9 subs there, 9 experienced first-team players. I know we say about playing the youth and giving them an opportunity to play, but Mickey, as strength and depth goes, you know, you mentioned it in our chat earlier, that's good options to have, isn't it, for Rowett as a manager?
Absolutely. They're the people you want in your side, didn't you? Mm-hmm. You know, when you want to be able to change the game, they're the people you want. And I think I think it's nice that they're all coming back at the right time in the season as well.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's a strong bench for us, isn't it, Neil? You know, Mickey mentioned the point, like I said, but to have that options, you know, change games, so many subs you can make. I think you can make 5, can't you, this season? So it's nice for Rowett to have them options from the bench to try and change games. And obviously with a lot of games coming up, game on Monday, for example, it's nice to have that squad option for once.
Absolutely. Yeah, but the timing couldn't have been better, really, could it? Well, with a run of games now to the end of the season, you want your strongest squad available. And I think it showed Conor Mahoney came back for the first time since November, didn't he? And he was pretty unlucky that he couldn't get the ball on his left foot because that was a brilliant little turn. And then he sidestepped inside the guy and I thought just lost his footing as he went to shoot. But that would have been superb. Kefton Belled coming on. Keith.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Absolutely superb. Saw Hall, when you want a guy to hold the ball up at the end in the corner, there's probably no better guy at the club, is there?
No.
He's fucking injury prone, but absolutely brilliant bench.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think one thing I was just actually reading there, I was just trying to get a tweet that I found, but, you know, I feel like it's unfortunate for Mill because, you know, let's talk about it. You know, one step forward with all these subs being on the bench, then Hutchinson goes off injured, and then you've got Alex Pearce back in the side. There's actually a comment here from Barry, I think it was. You know, Hutchinson's a warrior. He wouldn't come off unless he was fucking hurt. My fear is he plays Pearce now. I thought that was interesting, lads. I mean, we mentioned Kiefer Bell being on the bench. Maybe he's not 100% just yet. But, you know, the option is there to move George Evans back to the right side of centre-half. And I wouldn't be surprised personally to see him there on Monday, because I personally don't want Pearce near the team. We've spoken about that before. But it was interesting that he decided to bring Pearce on instead. I mean, is that because he likes the balance of Evans, Mitchell and Woods in the middle, do we think? Or maybe Kiefer Bell's not quite 100% yet? I mean, what do you think about that, Neil?
I think your last comment was probably the closest to what it is. Kiefer Bell's not played for, what, 6, 7, 8 weeks?
Yep.
He's probably only been training for a week to 10 days. So it would have been a massive ask to have put him on. Yeah, when did he go off? 20, 25 minutes, something like that.
Yep.
That would have been too much, I think, to have asked myself. But I do agree. I don't want Pearce playing. He's all right if you want to bring him on. At some stage, although to be fair, I don't think he really put a foot wrong today, but then again, he didn't have anything to do, really, did he? They took off their main strike threat, Freddie Ladapo, quite early on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just quite an easy afternoon for him.
I think a topic of conversation from the chat at the moment, but you know, Joe's here saying with Kiefer Mahoney back, Mitchell playing well along with Evans and Woods, will Ben Thompson get in? And then Richards then said, hate to say it, but I think Thompson's done now. What's your thoughts, Mickey?
I think Thompson's done now. I don't, you know, maybe if he's trying to rotate the squad and give people some safe legs going into the end part of the season, maybe you might get one more game. But I just don't think, as much as it hurts to say it, and I like Ben, and I know people who know Ben really well and stuff, but I don't know if he's really championship capability. I think what he probably needs is drop down a bit, get a lot of match experience, get that consistency going, and then maybe step back up. But in the championship, it's not for him.
It's unfair of me to label him and compare him to John Marcus, because John Marcus didn't get the look in that Thompson had at Millwall, for example. But he does fall into that little category for me, I feel like, because I loved Marcus. Like, he gave his all every time he put his self out there. It's literally the same kind of comparison, I feel like, for Thompson in that sense. And obviously, now look at Marquez scoring goals for fun in League One. If he came to the Championship, would he necessarily do it? You know, that's the whole catch-22 scenario. And I think Thompson will kind of, I think, maybe go to League One. And I think a lot of people are saying this, you know, Joe's saying I could see him going to Portsmouth in the summer. We obviously know they've been interested for a long time. Then again, they've changed their manager. Jacket's no longer there. So that's something that could potentially change. But I know he was obviously hotly rated at Portsmouth and the fans loved him. Same from Alan here. I rate Tomo, Mill boy, but it's not worked out for him under Rowett. Still think he can do more than a job for us. This is it. Like, you need players like Thompson and McNamara in the squad to show these players the Millwall way. But at the same time, if Thompson doesn't want to be playing second fiddle to a centre midfield pairing of Woods and Evans, you can't knock him for that. And obviously he wants to go out there and play lots of games. Still, you know, mid-20s, early 20s, to go out there and just make a good career for himself, really. And you can't knock him. He's been part, you know, he played a lot for us, especially in League One. But just since we came to the Championship, it's not really worked out for him, has it, Neil? I feel like, you know, he's had a couple of dribs and drabs. Last season got hit by an injury. And this year just really hasn't got that looking or opportunity to really show what he's about, I feel like.
And I don't think he's actually played well when he has been given a run of games until fairly recently. He had a nice little run of games and he didn't really impress. Looks like a fish out of water in this. Yeah, well, in this league, I think Barry's got a good point there that Woods might not be at the club next year. But what we're forgetting is that we've still got Ryan Leonard. So will he go out and will he strengthen? Will he bring somebody in? Will he loan somebody? You don't know. But I think, unfortunately, Ben Thompson isn't good enough to play in the Championship, not for Millwall. I think we have to accept that and not do as what we like doing as Millwall, and that's hanging on to players for a little bit too long. I think that Ben Thompson's time is probably up at Millwall. I think we need to accept that And I think for the good of his career, he needs to move on so he can play on a regular basis. And as yeah, as you both said, is actually would go down to maybe come back up again. I wish him all the best. Apparently, he's a really nice guy. He's Millwall through and through, but we can't afford to hang on to him. He just isn't good enough. We've got to, this summer we have to get players in that are good enough. I know Sean Williams will probably retire this summer, won't he? 35, 36. So we're slowly, Rowett's slowly bringing in the players that he wants. And I think we have to accept that Ben Thompson isn't going to be one of them.
That's it, though, isn't it? You know, we had a change of style of play as well. Gone are the days of Neil Harris 4-4-2, Gregory making the run down the channel for Thompson to play a lofted ball down the line to him. You know, it's just the style of play has changed. He doesn't fit into it, you know. And I think in that sense, you know, like it is fair that, you know, he's probably going to move on to another club. He's not playing a 4-4-2 formation. He's playing in a side that, you know, trying to pass the ball around a lot, and he spends half his time on his backside. And I love Thompson to bits, but, you know, he's always just playing like strictly come dancing, ain't he, or something, or dancing on ice. Like, when you look at him, you're thinking, like, what's he doing here? But I think a lot of the chat agree. Katie's actually led me on to a point, because I thought, you know, from what I saw from the game, I was impressed with him. I think Malone has been brilliant this season for us. And I thought,
he's,
you know,
my player of the year. He's my player of the year. I'll
same put it here. Out there. I think if it wasn't for Leonard's injury, I think Leonard would be in close contention with him. Because Leonard's obviously
absolutely
midfield, agreed, you know, he's played right wing back at the start of the season, dropped into centre half later in the season. And if Leonard was available, I'm looking forward to him coming back. I've not seen anything about an update for him, but, you know, hopefully he's back for a little bit of the running. Because then if he came back, I mean, even if we've got Bournemouth to play, and even if we've got, you know, the likes of, what's our fixtures? I actually had them up. Here we go. Stoke, Swansea, Brentford, Bournemouth, Watford, Bristol City and Coventry. If Fred Leonard involved in them games, I feel like we could be a threat to some of these sides on the counter-attack, especially. Just saying. So, I mean, but yeah, I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Obviously, Malone, like I said, you know, he's been superb, hasn't he, Mickey? What do you make of Malone this season?
Malone's been superb, but my player of the season would probably be Bart, if I'm honest, because I think if we didn't have him, we'd be fucked. I think we could seriously be looking relegation if we didn't have him.
Right on cue from Barry here, by the way.
See, I didn't even see that word there.
You literally started flirting, and then that comment came in saying, how can you look past Bart? No, Bart.
Yeah, but I think it's one in the same person. Mickey is actually Barry, really.
But look, okay, so the facts are, right, if you look at our statistics and you look at the league table and how we performed, yeah, we've not conceded many goals. I feel like it's not just Bart's job, though. I feel like the defence is all mucked in, and we set up quite defensively, so I credit Bart. And like I said, like, I don't even think about it anymore after Archer. It'd be in my mind all the time thinking, shit, he's going to make a mistake, he's going to cost us a game. Even the playoff semi-final away to Scunthorpe United, I remember him trying to get the ball when Tony scores a header at the corner. You know, like, Archer cost us so many goals. We then get promoted, and then that season he concedes a lot of 10 silly mistakes. And you take away them 10 silly mistakes, potentially we could have been in the playoffs that year. So you can't look past Bielkowski whatsoever. I do agree. But I think Malone's come in, and, you know, for a second spell, he could have been, you know, like a Ben Marshall second spell, where Ben Marshall came back in and wasn't interested. Malone's come in determined to make a point and prove himself. And he's earned a contract for next season, hasn't he, Neil? You've got to say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, that is the point that I was just going to make. We have to do everything we can possibly do to re-sign him and to sign him up. He obviously likes Rowett. He likes Millwall. Otherwise, he wouldn't have come back. So we must be in a running, but we have to do everything we can to sign Scott Malone. But I fear there'll be quite a few clubs in and around our position in the table that will be thinking, I'd admit, Scott Malone's had a bit of a revival at Millwall this season. And maybe it's not all going south, but we have to do everything we can possibly do to sign up Scott Malone for next
season. I think he's definitely grown up from the last time he was here. You know, he's no Flash Harry like he was last time, and he's actually, his football now is talking. You know what I mean? He's letting his football do the talking now. He's, you know, it's no Billy Big Bollocks. He's, this is what I can do, and this is what I can bring. And I think that's the great bit about it with him. This second half is that he wants first team football, and we gave him that chance, and he's repaid us fucking well over.
I think It's just like how Neil said about his point there, though, you know, be interested elsewhere now. But it depends if he wants the paycheck and more money, because let's be honest, we can be blown out of the water by teams probably in and around it with us, because we won't go above and beyond. I think Kevin has said that on multiple occasions before, but we'll pay what it's worth. But, you know, I feel like he's in a position where he's 30, isn't he now? I think he turned 30 years old. He's obviously looking to kind of nail down to a position and play some football. And there's no doubt he would be the first choice left back if he stayed at the club. So I'd like to see him personally commit. We'll see, and we'll have to wait and see what happens, I think. And I'm pretty sure if I'm Millwall and you're still playing him now, part of me thinks the deal's already wrapped up. But, you know, you never know. A Premier League club could come in the summer. If Norwich get promoted and want a left back, they might go for Scott Malone and take him. You know what I mean? So there's nothing to say it's not going to happen. But I think if Millwall's still playing him now, then you've got to think surely there's a deal in principle there to be had if possible. And it's just a gentleman's agreement that's got to be done. I mean, there's some more comments coming in. Gavin Smith saying, we'd like to see Bury and Tienza given a go now. I mean, I've banged the drum for so long. I've stopped doing it now. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. But
it's pointless,
isn't
it? It's pointless.
But I look at the fixtures, yeah, though. This is what my point is, right? And I think the games that I would have played them are gone now. And yeah, you're looking at the fixtures we got now, and you've got Swansea, Brentford, Bournemouth, Watford. You know, we've got Stoke on Monday. Yeah, okay. But the only games I see an opportunity to play, and maybe the last home game of the season against Bristol City, which would be a nice occasion. Imagine if we had a couple thousand Mill fans in there as well. Let's be hopeful.
Yeah, we could play them against Coventry as well.
Yeah, exactly. But then that's it. Like, aside from that, I wouldn't want to play them against these sides that are scoring goals for fun and, you know, looking to get bigger and better things this season. I think it would be a no-no, Neil, for me. Like, you're kind of putting them out in the firing line a little bit there.
Yeah, the problem with Tienza is he plays in the same position as Scott Malone. And all of a sudden, if Scott Malone is dropped for Tienza, even if it is for a couple of end-of-season games, does that affect Malone's thinking as to whether or not he's going to come back next year? Because you know what footballers are like and sportsmen are like. They're a prickly species, aren't they? They're difficult to work out at the best of times, but Bury's been in and around the side. I think now it's getting stronger. I think it's getting harder for him to get in. Hayden Muller is, we've said, I'd still like to see Muller come onto the bench, especially if Hutchinson's out for the rest of the season, because we need some defensive cover on there. We can't just rely on having George Evans and Alex Pearce, because it ain't going to work, is it?
Alex Pearce is over it, mate. Nine times out of ten, he's more of a fucking liability for us than a fucking benefit. So you've got to...
But the trouble is that Rabbit has said he isn't going to play these kids for the sake of it, didn't he? Said it just before the international break, but...
Yeah, but it's not about playing them for the sake of playing them. It's about fucking playing them because, you know, if Hutchinson's out, then we need someone there. And, you know, we need someone with a bit of pace and something about him. And no disrespect... You know, Pearce just hasn't got that in a minute, mate. Pearce is about as scary as a cuddly toy in a fucking kindergarten.
How many times have we said this though, Mickey? You know what I mean? So it's like, but the only other player that in that interview that Neil referred to there before the international break that right name dropped was Tienza. So, you know, maybe there could be opportunity for Tienza to come in and have a game. I know what you're saying, Neil, about Malone, but maybe it could be a nice handover over the guard, you know. It could be next couple of years, Malone could show him the ropes, and if Tienza's worth his money...
Absolutely.
Be ideal. Because you've got to think Shane Ferguson's going to be leaving, and that's the other option for that position. So then you've got to think Tienza, if he's not going to get a loan move and he wants to, you know, give him an opportunity, right? It could be an option for Tienza to play himself into the fold, really. I think, you know, it could be a nice competition to have Malone and Tienza, and then you could have McNamara and Romeo on either side. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can have competition for places
but you've also got Murray Wallace that can play there as well, and I think he'll probably play Wallace above Tienza, unfortunately, because it's the kind of situation that we're in now, that you can put these kids in and you can see if they're any good. We're not going up, we ain't going down. Yeah, so let's just see how good they are. I think well, we've been banging on for weeks, and I think I caught yours and Mickey's podcast last weekend, and you said you're bored of banging on the same old things. And it's the same old, isn't it?
It is. There's not much to talk about these days because we're not at the games. There's no stories to talk about. And this is it, though, isn't it, I suppose? Because I feel less involved. Like, even I'm struggling to watch the games, even though we won today. Like, I can't really recall. I can't recall much of the game, you know, aside from the goal and obviously the penalty. And you know, I'm just sitting there thinking, like, I'm not really that infused about it. So I'm just holding on to August. You know, I put a tweet out on our handle, and it was a stat: the last 9 games at the Den, Millwall have only lost 1 game, only conceding 4 goals. Obviously, we, you know, to take you through it, we drew 0-0 against Watford, drew 0-0 against Norwich, both great results. Looking back at them, I'd feel like beat Sheffield Wednesday 4-1, beat Birmingham 2-0. Drew 0-0 of Wickham, classic Millwall. Beat Preston 2-1. Lost 2-0 to Blackburn, our only defeat. And then since then, 2-1-0 wins. And I think, you know, that's the highlight of our season, really. You look at it and think, wow, them 9 games sum up Millwall this season. You know, you've got not scoring many goals. The odd occasion we scored 4. And aside from that, it's 1-0s, 1-0s, 0-0s, 2-1s. It's been nitty-gritty this season, hasn't it? But I feel like, and this is what I said in the tweet, roll on August and next season with a packed Den. I feel like a lot of these 1-0 performances, you know, I feel like if there was a crowd there today, it would urge the players a bit more to get out there and put an effort in, I feel like, and maybe get us over the line a bit more comprehensively. So I'm just holding on to next season. Something to talk about, something to cheer about, and hopefully next season we can kick on a bit more, lads. What do you reckon, Mickey?
No, I totally agree with you. No, I totally agree. I think this season we just do what we need to do, tick it over, and then, you know, and then go next season and then actually go for it. You know, I still, look, Millwall's Millwall, mate. Millwall makes you, you know, wonder till the last game. And, I don't honestly think we will, but you know what? We might do. I was going to bring that up in a sec.
Go on, Mickey. Reply to him. Go on. I don't know. Millwall Holdings. Do they look at the comments on here and comment on them? We do.
Who? Do you mean us or do you mean the club or whoever? Because your holdings there. But it's a weird name to have, Millwall Holdings.
I know, interesting.
he might be called Holding. You never know.
Alan Smith here. Maybe. Remember seeing Billy Mitchell coming on as a sub last day of season at Wigan about 2 years ago. You can see the potential in the lad. Great prospect for us. Gavin then retaliated with that, saying, has Alexander beefed up now? This is George Alexander. Was too skinny at Wigan away. And, you know, this is it. Like, players, you got to trust the manager's judgment. Ultimately, I can call for it and we can say, I want the youngsters to play. If Rat doesn't want to play them, I've got to trust the manager because it's his job to say they're not good enough. So you can't knock him for it, can you, Neil? If he's not playing them, it's his choice and we're winning at the minute. So who's going to stop him from doing so?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, all he'll do is he'll just point out that the myth that teams can't play at home has been well and truly blown by us this season, hasn't it? That we're picking, yeah, that ironically our home form is bloody good, especially in this second half of the season. But yeah, well, Rowett's hired and fired to pick a team, isn't he, and to win football matches. And he's picking what he thinks is the best team, and he's winning football matches. So you can't argue with him, really, can you?
I think the club had Rowett had the challenge of, you know, set the team out that's going to be competitive in games, and that's probably why he's playing the formation he is. And we're still in games and we're winning games now. That's it. Like, the home form was appalling. A lot of people online were talking about it and saying, you know, I think we only won 3 games in 28 or something stupid. And obviously, having no crowd was obviously a big factor in that. But fair play to Rowett. He's changed things up, gone for this formation. And since he's gone to it in the new year, it's gone from strength to strength. One more thing about young players, because Gabby's talking about it here. Obviously, he said Müller looks promising. And I'm pretty sure I saw my comment from MFC 1885. I did. Müller played against 2 Premier League teams, Burnley and Palace. He did. Palace in pre-season, I remember as well. And didn't put a foot wrong. Should be at least on the bench. I agree. I know he had an injury. He was suspended at a point and then he was injured. He's come back into the 23s in recent weeks. And I personally would like to see him get an opportunity, definitely. And you never know. It could be definitely some sub appearances in the next few games for him.
I think that this says I think there's something in that. I don't know if he's got an issue with youngsters or, you know, he likes them being a certain way. But he weren't interested in him until he went to Scotland. And was it, you know, is it because of Callum giving him the heads up and saying, you know, this player could actually do something for you, that he's come back in? Because there are some promising youth players playing in our youth team what, you know, deserve at least a game or so to see what's what. Or, I don't know, maybe COVID, maybe the fact we got out of the cup games quite early. Don't know, you know, there's something there while we're not playing them, but yeah
there was the lad who was on the other week who raves about Abdul Malik, wasn't it, as well, I think. But I think he's only been on the bench for the under 23s from what I've seen.
That's a good point. we've missed him tonight. Where is the old fucking rent-a-gob? Old fucking Mr. Scanlon.
Oh, I'm not sure, to be honest. Yeah, I'm not really sure where he's at. But,
I've missed his comments tonight. He's not there. before we obviously move on a bit, possibly to the next game or going forward, we done a vote earlier. We done a poll on Twitter earlier about the there's a couple of rumours flying around that potentially there's either COVID passports or forced to take tests and all that. And I can't believe, actually, that the question of the day was, would you accept needing a COVID passed, I put password, and that should have been fucking passport, but still, COVID passport and test before and after to go back to football and primarily go back to Millwall. 63% said yes, they wouldn't mind. Which I thought would have been
the other way
around.
I think it's the only way that's going to happen. Yeah, but to be honest, I think it's the only way it's going to happen. Yeah. Everybody is that desperate to get back to football that I think that most of us would jump through hoops, wouldn't we?
I think this is where it gets interesting, because fans want to get back to football badly, right? And we all do. We all miss it, and I understand that. But the clubs want you back not because they want you back to watch the game of football. They want you back because of sponsorship. They want you back for the money, and they will do whatever needs to be done, lobbying the council, lobbying the government, et cetera, et cetera. But my concern is if they want a passport, okay, I'm fine. But what I'm not fine about is giving clubs any more power or any more information than what they want. I thought after the championship final a few years back at Wembley with the pitch invasion where the FA wanted to force on us ID cards for away games and everything else. And I thought fucking hard that ain't going to happen because, there's loads of people who are members who fucking give Mickey Mouse names and all that lot, that you had to have a photo ID to be able to get a season ticket and get a ticket to go away and membership and all that. And that's just bullshit. It's just more and more information, because as soon as you do that, you're just doing the old Bill's job for you. There's already ground, there's already information sharing between clubs and old Bill. If I have to give a season ticket with a picture on and go, oh, by the way, I want to buy a season ticket, here's my ID, here's my name, here's my address, here's my photo, you're telling me that that's going to sit in a box somewhere, that's going to get digitalised, it's going to sit on a fucking screen somewhere, and when there's a bit of kick-off at Millwall, someone's going to go through that list and they're going to go, oh, he looks like him. There we go, pop and off out. I don't give a fuck about what anyone says about data protection, all that bollocks. As soon as you start bringing ID, photo ID, or anything else into it, you're blurring the waters, mate. I mean, fuck me, Everton Millwall was what? How long ago? 2 years ago? 2.5 years ago? And now they're starting to do it. And I saw a tweet earlier by Alison, who's the top football barrister, who's saying realistically the court cases might not even take place till 2024. He's taking the piss. It's fucking so
Mickey. Yeah, do you remember after the Birmingham riot?
Yeah, with the ID cards, yeah.
Yeah, well, you had to actually show your passport to get a season ticket the season after that.
Yeah, but we're still on memberships now.
Yeah,
but
I do remember that.
Yeah, but we're still in memberships now. It's because we sit there and bow down to it. We bow down to the FA.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I think that if you want to go to football, you're going to need a COVID passport. I think that the Football League are selling everybody out on the matter. I don't want a COVID passport, but if it means I can go to a football match, then I'm willing to accept it, yeah? And as long as you're not having to hand that into the club, as long as you... I don't know how they're going to do it, yeah? But as long as you're not handing over documents to buy a ticket and you just show... on your phone. I know they're talking about apps and all sorts, so God knows how they're going to work it. If track and trace was anything to go by, it won't fucking work
but it's a slippery slope. Before I left, one of the last things that were coming in, or just after I left, like being involved, one of the last things that were coming in, we were always one of the last clubs to have unreserved seating in Coldplay Lane, right? It was unreserved seating. It was always sold as unreserved seating. Most of it actually was sold as up around the stadium as unreserved seating, but it used to say on the ticket, unreserved seating. the rest of the teams in the Football League fucking got on their little soapboxes, bitch like mad to the FA and everything else. Oh, it's not fair. Millwall's got this and they shouldn't be. It's not fair. And then, fuck me, we bow down and now everywhere's unreserved. Do you know what I mean? It's all bollocks, mate. You know, we sit where the fuck we want. We're Millwall. We go where we want. We sit where we want and get over it. It's as simple as that. You know, no one ever goes to Millwall and sits in a seat they brought a ticket for. It just never happened, mate. And I just think it's a slippery slope of tying us up with ID and this, that and the other. It's just a fucking scam to go, look, I've had my jab. I've had a jab, you know, and I'll have another one shortly. And yeah, it's nothing to do with that. I've got no idea of it. And all these people go, oh, you've got nothing to do with it. It's got nothing to do with that. I don't want to give too much information. I want to be able to turn up on a Saturday, home or away, walk to that ticket office, give them a fucking few notes, mate, with the Queen's head on them and say, thank you very much. I'll have a ticket here. Get my ticket. Go sit in. No fucker knows who I am. And that's the way it is, mate. I don't need anyone.
Yeah, but that will happen. Yeah, well, that will happen eventually. But I think initially it ain't going to happen. Yeah.
I don't know what you're on about. Therefore, let's be honest, sorry to interrupt you. Let's be honest, in 10 years' time, we're going to go up to the counter and pay with Bitcoin. Come on, like, you know, it's the world's changing. The world's changing big time. And like, the anonymity of money and not being able to go in. It's not going to happen.
Listen, mate, I guarantee you, at Millwall, more people pay with cash at Millwall, mate. Than
100%.
People carry around. Rest of the clubs sit there with cards everywhere and all that. Millwall, they still do cash. Most boys carry around more money in their pocket. Start a civil war.
Yeah, well, we said we weren't going to talk over each other. So let me say something, yeah?
Sorry, bro.
Yeah, but these passports aren't going to go on forever. Yeah? It's just an initial thing that everybody's going to have to agree to get into the ground, yeah? And I think we have to just accept it. I don't want to carry one, but if it means I can go back to football, well, I'm willing to do it. If you don't want it, don't go to games. It's quite easy.
Listen.
But those of us that want to go to games are willing to accept it.
Listen, one thing that you said a little while ago, Neil, yeah, is do you remember Birmingham and what coming after Birmingham? Yeah, I do. Birmingham come in with all the photo IDs and all that lot, yeah? And then you've got the fucking membership card, what was allegedly because of all the trouble at Birmingham to make sure that we weren't getting outsiders going to away games. Well, Birmingham, what is what, 10 years ago, 12 years ago? Where is it? Longer than that now, isn't it? 20 years ago now, isn't it, Birmingham? 20 years ago. And we've still got a membership scheme in, which is just a fucking tax on people going to away games.
It was about 2003, wasn't it?
It's 20-odd years ago that membership scheme is still in and goes up every year. You give none of that membership money now to the MSC. It all goes to the club. For what? To give you a piece of card, to give you permission to go to away games. And they tell other clubs to stick by that they don't sell game tickets apart from Millwall, the ones who sell tickets. It's a tax what will come in. And these COVID
passports... Yeah, it's a money-making scam by Millwall.
Well, it's by Millwall. But by everyone, once these passports come in for football, they'll all be there, mate. It'll all be there, mate, to stay in. They'll say, oh, it's only coming in for a couple of years until we get on top of this virus and we push it away. And then what will happen is that the clubs will start putting a charge in for it of a fiver or something to start with, and then it will just go up and it'll be added. Or part of the condition of your season ticket is that you have to show a positive or show that you've had the vaccine to do this. Or if you've had vaccine, you'll get a cheaper ticket so or whatever. There will be a way around it.
So will you where do they it? Make it? So will you do it? Will you do
what,
it?
What, passport? No, I don't see why we need to have a passport to go to football. I don't need a passport.
I'm asking you.
No, I'm asking you. But why do I need a passport to go to football? I can go to a supermarket and walk around the fucking town centre and walk along the seafront and go to the beach without a fucking COVID passport.
Right.
Where there's more wankers who fucking probably more fucking at risk to me. Why not go to football and not have it?
So you won't do it in August then?
No.
Yeah, well, me and Omar will send you pictures what it's like inside the ground then.
Cool.
Yeah,
I don't give
a fuck. Well, but you know, it's just the world we live in, isn't it, mate? I think I agree with everything you say. To be honest, I do agree.
Same as I wouldn't go to Millwall if they wanted photo ID.
I probably would still. I miss Millwall. You know what I mean? So
no, look, it's, yeah, I understand it's a miss Millwall and all that lot, but it's all about fucking, You know, I know why the FA wants photo ID, because at Wembley, they basically got fuck all out of Wembley. When everyone went on the pitch, they pretty much drilled nothing. They got no one really for Wembley to sit there and hold up. And Wembley apologised for their cock up and everything else. It's just another way to rape football fans. You know, rape probably the wrong word, but it's another way to attack football fans. We are the most easiest people in the world to attack through legislation.
Fleece, I think you mean is the right word.
It's just mug off, mate. It's mug us. They mug us off. Do you know what? You're a rugby man, right? You write for rugby papers, right? I can go pissed out of my head, and we've discussed this before, right? Where rugby is fucking full of animals. Look, you know, but you come out on the train, they're pissing people's garden, they're doing this, that, and the other. Do you know what? But you can go to Twickenham, pissed out your head, and then in that stadium, right? I can go to Millwall. And the rules are for the police, yeah, is that if I smell of alcohol and I'm unsteady on my feet, I could fucking have a can of beer spilt on me and smell a beer and trip over my own feet. And according to them, I could be arrested for being drunk and disorderly, banned from the ground, and fucking be arrested for that. It's bollocks, mate. It's different rules for both pieces, mate. Different rules. So, Joe, you can think it, mate. I just don't see. Listen, if the passport's free and it's literally all you need to do is show something to say, this is it, I've had the jab, I've had the two jabs, this is it, like your jab card with no personal information on it, then, yeah, I've got no issue with that. But if it steps up a little bit further than that, where I'm having to show a bit more to be able to, the passport has that bit more information, I don't want to be giving my data out. That's where it is. It's not about cutting your nose off. It all depends on how much information needs to be on that passport.
Should we talk last 10 minutes about football? Should we move on to Monday's game?
Stoke City.
Yeah. I know it's a good talking point, but maybe it's one for a podcast in the future for us to talk about further. So I think
and
we can definitely get
the point about Monday is Ryan Woods can't play.
There you go. Well, so Monday we play Stoke City away at the Bet 365 Stadium. I think it's probably still called that now.
Did you see how much their owner got?
Bet365.
Yeah, mate.
Good on her. She built the app. She might let her take all the cream of the crops. I'd be the same. Fuck yeah. I'd probably take more.
Yeah, but her dad built the company. Yeah, but dad built the company.
I would. Fair play to her.
Yeah, fair play. She can earn that amount of money and she pays a fair whacking tax. Yeah. Good luck to her. I don't give a fuck about all these virtue signalers who say, they're making money off people's misery. Fuck them. Yeah.
Straight question, right? Do you think she paid 50% tax on that?
I would hazard a guess that she probably pays quite a lot of tax.
No, that's not the question. Don't power out the question. Did she pay between 40 and 50% tax on that? No, did she?
Yeah, no, her tax rate would be about 60% on that, wouldn't it? I don't know. But, yeah, as long as she pays some tax on it, yeah, whatever she pays on it is going to be more than most people back in probably ever earn their life.
Stoke City on Monday.
We're wrapping up now anyway. So Stoke on Monday. They won 2-0 today, lads, against Bristol City. I mean, Bristol City's a bit up and down this season anyway in general. So it won't be pushovers, though. I think they seem to be on form recently. I think they've won the game before against Derby. I think they drew against Cardiff away. You know, they're going to be a tough side to come against. Obviously, players, you know, the likes of Stephen Fletcher, experienced forward for this level. Sam Vokes. No Lee Gregory because he's gone on loan to Derby. But what are you expecting from the game, Mickey? You're going to expect a tough one. I think it should be interesting. Maybe some changes. I think we're going to draw, to be honest. I'm going to say it now. It'll be a dull one. I think I agree with MFC 885 here. 0-0. That's my prediction. 0-0. And I'll take it. I can't lie. I will.
I think it'll be 0-0. Or maybe we're nick a win with a late goal. But I think it's going to be a boring game. Both teams really don't want to lose, do they?
No, that's it. I think both teams are, you know, that's it, isn't it? It's going to be a tough ask to, you know, put on an entertaining affair. Both teams in mid-table obscurity, Neil, isn't it? You know, what else can you ask for this game?
Well, the one good thing is that we've got quite a lot of players that are coming back. So maybe that time today gives them a chance to come back in. It's a kind of game where we're quite likely to go up there and win, aren't we? I hope we win. I hope we're entertained, because as after all, it's an entertainment industry, and us being entertained doesn't happen too often. Let's face it. But one nil either way, I think, probably. Hopefully it's to us.
Kensah Hall coming back into the fold. I think this is it, though. Look, you know, both teams on 55 points, 10th and 11th in the table. It's set up just to be either, you know, similar sorts of form. We've got a +3 goal difference. They've got a +2 goal difference. They've drawn almost as many games as us this season. I think we're going to cancel each other out. And it's either going to be a humding of a game and both teams going for it, maybe thinking there's a chance of the playoffs still. I mean, if we're still glimmering it a little bit, Stoke might be holding on to it just as much. Who knows? But I think reality is both teams won't really give a shit about this game. Both teams won't want to get battered. Both teams will just play out a 0-0, honestly. I'm sorry to people in the chat. I mean, some predictions here. 1-1 from Alan. He's saying we're on the beach now, season over. 1-1 from David. 0-0 guaranteed from Barry. What else have we got here? We got 1-1 from Joe Zampa. Let's take wins anyway. Like a rebound from Jim Gratt.
Yeah, well, can we take him up there and just fucking leave him? Yeah, can we lock him in a cupboard somewhere up there or something? Just so he doesn't come back to London, honestly, and then happy days, isn't it? Well, did anybody see his Barnet today? That boy badly needs a haircut.
Mate, he runs. Have you ever seen him run? He just runs really pigeon chest. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. Nick, listen, those of you who are in the chat, when he plays next, watch him. He sort of runs sort of as if he's like auditioning for Carry On or some form of comedy movie. Do you know what I mean?
Duncan Norville. Remember Duncan Norville? He used to run around, chase me. Yeah, he runs like that, doesn't he? Let's face it.
He's trying to keep somebody off
his arsehole or something.
But yeah.
But no.
So, you know what today is, gents, didn't you?
What's that, mate?
It's our 12th show, mate. It's our 12th show. We've done 12 shows now. This is our 12th live show, mate.
Not bad.
So, you know, thank you very much to everyone in the chat and all that lot who join us week in, week out and giving you support. Just maybe next week we'll do Bring a Mate Week. You know, see if you can get someone else involved and whatnot. That's what I wanted to talk about. Just briefly. We lost Barry Kitchener 12 years ago or thereabouts. Was it 12 years ago? No, less than that. 2012, 9 years ago. This week. Last week. That was a sort of thing on the club and all that. If you haven't watched it, there is a, if you type in Barry Kitchener Millwall, there is a great memorial video on YouTube for him.
Yeah, it was done on a big screen, wasn't it, when he died, I think, for his memorial service at the ground. Yeah.
If you don't want to search it, give us a little while and I'll put it on a playlist on our channel. But it was a great video going through, talking to ex-players, Barry Jacks, George Jacks and other people. Reminiscing about their time with him and everything else. Unfortunately, I never got to meet. I met his family and stuff, because obviously they do a lot of charity stuff at the Den and that. And everyone either fucking loved him. He was an absolute gentleman, on and off the pitch, and an absolute lion heart on the pitch. God bless you. Just something where I thought I'd mention it, but yeah.
I think also needs to be said that we've lost two former players since our last show. We've lost Mickey Brown, who died in Spain, and we've lost Alan Slagg, who played for us in the 60s and 70s.
All these players are slowly going. Now you need to get on the phone, mate. Get a lot of them before we lose them all, mate. And we'll do there. So, yeah. Remember, if you want to get involved in Who Are You, if you want to tell us all about, you know, a bit about you and your following, Millwall, just get on our website and there's a button right at the top of the website to click to get involved in the show. Or if you want to get on this, send us a message, tell us why you want to come on and what you think you could bring to coming on for giving us your 5 minutes of fame, then let us know.
Very quick Barry Kitchener story from me. I was looking to do a feature with Barry. So I phoned up what was his phone number for many years. And the guy who answered the phone said, hello. I said, oh, is Barry there, please? He said, oh, not fucking you and all. I said, what do you mean? He said, I keep on getting loads of phone calls for this bloke, Barry. Who was he? I said, he's fucking God, mate. Honestly, apparently, yeah, but he moved. He left the phone number at this house. And the guy who took it over just kept on getting phone calls for Barry Kitchener. Got very pissed off.
There we go. You see, he was a legend all time. But yeah, have we got anything else to talk about? Plug the podcast this week, I suppose, if you haven't listened to it. Me and Omar had a catch up last weekend, talking some of the stories from Fan of the Board days, talking about the London Bridge lot, getting them on the pitch, and some other stories. And last week's, or this week's, Who Are You? Or Into the Lion's Den was with Paul Moody, which was a good interview there. So, yeah, there's an hour there what will help you on your dog walk, or just waste a bit of time if you want to waste a bit of time. So, yeah.
Well said. I think that's everything, guys. I think, as always, if you've enjoyed, be sure to leave a like, review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It's greatly appreciated. And yeah, 12 not out. I think we're close to 100 not out soon. So yeah, it's been a pleasure as always. And we'll be back soon. Thanks for listening, everyone. And thanks for tuning in. And we'll be back soon. It's the best team.